And behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying,
Jesus, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it?
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.
And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus,
and who is my neighbor?
Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place, he saw him and passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. To him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he sat him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out two denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying,
take care of him, and whatever more you have to spend, I will repay you when I return.
Which one of these three proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the lawyer said,
the one who showed mercy.
And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Church, could we offer up a round of applause for our actors, Chris, Aloalu, Neil, and Tori. Thank you. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. God, thank you for the ways in which you use your word, Old Testament, New Testament, to remind us of what is true and to center us on you and on your will and your purposes for our lives. Would you continue to speak to us by your Holy Spirit through your word this morning? Speak, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, the Good Samaritan. I'm sure it's not your first time you've seen the Good Samaritan maybe played out or certainly read. It's, I think, probably the most well-known of Jesus's more than 30 parables. Everybody understands the term, and because everyone has either been a Good Samaritan at some point in their life, or they have known a Good Samaritan, or they at least have heard of one. But as we will see by telling this story, Jesus actually had much more in mind than merely encouraging us to be willing to go out and help people in need, though he certainly meant that too. So it was a lawyer. It was a lawyer who stood up to ask the question, who is my neighbor? Lawyers like clarity. They want to know what the letter of the law is. And where are the loopholes? By asking, who is my neighbor, the lawyer wanted to know who he, as a Jewish leader, who he had to love and who he didn't. The lawyer would have been an expert in interpreting and applying Old Testament law. He would have known and probably memorized the written Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. And he would have been devoted to observing all 600 plus of the laws found in the Torah. Now, this event likely took place in a synagogue that Jesus was visiting on a Sabbath, as we know was his custom. It's possible that Jesus, as we read about him doing on other such occasions, had just given a message. And as was a common practice in Jesus' day, the local religious scholars would stand to their feet out of respect for the teacher to ask the visiting rabbi clarifying questions and perhaps even challenge their theology. This is what the lawyer was doing with Jesus. The lawyer rose to his feet to test Jesus. He asked, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, a brilliant teacher, turned the question back to the lawyer. "What do you think?" Showing his proficiency in the scriptures, the lawyer gave the perfect Sunday school answer. Love God and love others. You can't go wrong with an answer like that. As you and I know, though, there's a big difference between knowing what's true and doing what's true. The lawyer justified himself with his supreme knowledge of the Bible and his ability to stick to the letter of the law. However, and again, most of us already know this, it's not our knowledge of the Bible that saves us, right? But it's God. It's his love. It's his mercy. It's his grace. And this has all been demonstrated in the life and death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Had Jesus, in response to the question, "Who is my neighbor?" had Jesus identified who they were and who they weren't, oh, the lawyer would have walked away feeling even more justified. Instead, Jesus told him a deceptively simple story about two high-profile Jewish religious leaders who went out of their way to avoid helping a person in critical need and a most unlikely person who went out of his way to heal and restore the one in need. Jesus made a hero out of the one person the lawyer would have thought it most acceptable not to love, a Samaritan. Now notice, all three men saw the victim lying helpless on the side of the road, but only one had compassion. Two holy men view the situation through their religious lens and circumstances, and justified walking past, just as the lawyer was hoping to do. But the Samaritan man saw the beaten, bloodied, naked individual and couldn't help but to get involved. Two were filled with excuses. One was filled with compassion. Did you also notice how Jesus took the lawyer's question and turned it around? The lawyer wanted to know who his neighbors were, but Jesus showed him what it means to be a neighbor. Brilliant. Rather than answer the "Who am I supposed to love and who don't I have to love?" question, Jesus showed what it would look like to love everyone, no matter what neighborhood you're in. The Samaritan first did this by attending to the dying man's immediate needs. He then lifted the man onto his donkey and took him to a place where he could recover and be safe from further harm and abuse. Additionally, he covered the cost for this man to stay for as long as needed. Some scholars suggest that the amount was up for a 2-month stay at this inn. And he paid this expense knowing that if he didn't, the unfortunate soul who had been left penniless on the side of the road would have acquired a debt he'd likely never be able to repay. When we justify ourselves, it's usually because we're trying to protect something. It's oftentimes our needs, needs that we view as having higher priority than others. But Jesus himself, filled with compassion, gives us a picture of a better way of living, a better way of loving, a better way of serving. We don't know for certain, but we can only hope that this lawyer began to see himself in this exchange not as one already justified because of his own religious deeds, but perhaps more likely like the helpless one left, abandoned, in need of someone to rescue him. Jesus looks upon us all with compassion. And he has shown us his mercy by lifting us from our helpless, sin-soaked, spiritually bankrupt, dying on the side of the road condition. And at his expense, he paid the full price for our rescue, our recovery, our salvation. Because of his sacrificial love, we are debt-free. No longer bound to die in our sin and powerlessness against it. Instead, we are safe in his care, healed by his power, clothed in his righteousness, sustained by his Spirit, and sent out with his grace and his mercy and his love to go and do likewise. It's an incredible story. And whenever you read this story, you perhaps like me, where do I find myself in this story? Who do I identify most with? Does it feel perhaps like you've been beat up, robbed perhaps, left for dead? Are you in a place of recognizing your need for God to rescue and restore you? God sees you. And God wants to help you. Call on the name of Jesus, ask for his forgiveness, and let him release you from that which wants to destroy you so that you can embrace him, the one who wants to heal you. Perhaps you can too easily identify with the priest or with the Levite in the story because you've become someone who is too important to be sacrificially involved in helping to care for the needs of others. You're too busy, perhaps, or you're too tired, or you're too right to get involved with helping other people who have problems. Or can you see Jesus in the Samaritan? And do you want to be more like him? Imagine how much better this world would be if more Christians were walking in the footsteps of Jesus. I'm going to close this morning's message with a poem written by Dr. Maya Angelou called "I Am a Christian." When I say I am a Christian, I'm not shouting I'm clean living. I'm whispering I was lost. Now I'm found and forgiven. When I say I'm a Christian, I don't speak of this with pride. I'm confessing that I stumble and need Christ to be my guide. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not trying to be strong. I'm professing that I'm weak and need his strength to carry on. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not bragging of success. I'm admitting I have failed and need God to clean my mess. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not claiming to be perfect. My flaws are way too visible, but God believes I'm worth it. Now, when I say I'm a Christian, I still feel the sting of pain. I have my shares of heartaches, so I call on his name. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not holier than thou. I'm just a simple sinner who received God's good grace somehow. I Am a Christian by Dr. Maya Angelou.